I guess I'm going to talk this morning on the subject of getting serious. And I'm going to look at this subject from three main points of view. Getting serious in salvation, getting serious in prayer, and getting serious in gospel work. Mostly, and as I looked at this subject, there is a whole lot the Bible has to say on this subject about salvation, about getting serious about salvation. So I have 8 different references that I'm going to turn to in that. Prayer is a little less, preaching is a bit. But I guess with that, let's start with a prayer. Father, again, our heart's desire is that you would speak to us. Help us to understand your word this morning. I pray that you would just be here to encourage and edify us. Amen. I've talked about this before, this subject, way, way back in a testimony meeting. So I'm using some of my same notes from then, and you just have to forgive me for that. But I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to read 4 different verses, without making many comments, in which they're all saying a different thing, and yet there's one parallel theme throughout these 4 verses, or 4 passages. Matthew 11, verse 12, tells us, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." That's what I mean. I'm talking about getting serious. Now, if we turn a little, few books further into Acts, chapter 14, and verse 22. We read, "Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God." Flipping back to the Gospels, there's 2 more passages in Luke. First one's going to be Luke 16, verse 16. "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it." So this is, in a lot of ways, a parallel passage. The other one says that the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And here it says, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And this I see very parallel if we flip back 3 chapters into Luke 13, verse 23. "Then said one to him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." Strive to enter in at the straight gate. The idea of Christ alone, that gate is too narrow for people to fit through. There is a large portion of people that know the Bible is true, that know that the God of the Bible is the real God, but they're unwilling to squeeze through that gate of Christ. The gate is too narrow. He says, strive to enter in. "For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." That's the principle that I'm talking about this morning in the area of salvation. Getting serious. Now I want to look at 4 passages. The next 4 passages I look at are 4 examples of people, all of which happen to be in the book of Luke, four people that we see that got serious. I'm going to start back in Luke chapter 5. I'm going to go through a lot of scripture this morning and reading a lot of different passages, and I just have this common theme that I want you guys to keep in mind as we read all these stories. Getting serious. Reading verses 18 through 20 of Luke chapter 5. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. What an example is this? There's no other way to describe a story like this than these men got serious. I don't even have to make any comment on that. Let's turn two chapters forward to Luke chapter 7. Reading verses 36 through the end of the chapter. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love him most. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman entered into thine house? Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he saith unto the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Another example of a woman that took the kingdom of heaven by violence. Pressed into the kingdom of heaven. Luke 18. Verse 35 to the end of the chapter. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Here this man has a desire, he has a need that only Christ can answer. And he's calling out to Christ and the people around him saying, tell him, be quiet. And he just cries the more. wasn't worried what the people around were thinking, wasn't worried about the disturbance he was being. He had a purpose. He had a need. And there was only one answer. And he was going to get that answer. And he did. The beginning of the next chapter. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Here's another man. A grown man climbing trees. With all the people around. It didn't matter. He had a purpose. He was a short man. He couldn't see Jesus, but that wasn't going to stop him. Nothing could have stopped him because he was serious. And he got what he needed that day. There is no man that has become a Christian that did not get serious one day. If you are a Christian, you can look back in your life and there was a day when you got serious. How many? I know so many people that are just nonchalant about life, and they go on, they're saying, yeah, I'll get saved someday, whatever. But there's going to go, if that person is going to get saved, there's going to come a day when they get serious. When they realize, it must happen. I must find Christ. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And every Christian once got serious. And I should have left my Bible open because I want to start at the beginning of Luke chapter 18. This is my second point, getting serious in prayer. And again, I'm going to start with the principle, with Jesus' parable that he gives in the beginning of Luke chapter 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, and neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto them, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? In another place, I thought I had it written down, but I evidently don't. Jesus tells another parable about the man that goes, that has a visitor come, and he arrives at midnight. This man has traveled a long ways to his house, and he doesn't have anything to feed his guest. So he goes to his neighbor's house and knocks on his neighbor's door. And his neighbor says, I'm already in bed. I ain't going to give you anything. But he keeps knocking. And the Bible says because of his importunity, he will arise and give him. He finally realizes he isn't going to sleep if he doesn't give this man some bread. And Jesus is just telling us to get serious. Get serious. We turn all the way back to Genesis chapter 32. We have another man that got serious. Verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." I've wrestled with you all night. My thigh's out of joint, and I ain't going to leave this without getting something from it. No. I won't let you go until you bless me. Here was another man that got serious. I have another story in Matthew chapter 15. Reading verse 21-28. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Getting serious. We must get serious. But on the subject of prayer, I can't say, like I said on salvation, that every Christian once got serious. Not every prayer that you ever had answered meant you prayed it seriously. Because it's just amazing, the goodness of God. Sometimes we just don't even stop and really think about what we're praying and just mention something, and before you know, God's answered our prayer. What we must remember is we don't get answered prayers because of how well we pray, but because of who we're praying to. But still, we're told say, get serious. Get serious. My third point, preaching, gospel work, whatever you want to call it. I want to start in the book of John, chapter 12 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And this is speaking primarily of Christ in his death, as I mentioned last night. And his death bringing forth much fruit. But I think there's an example there for us, and we see it in other men. The life of Jesus in this principle that we see, him dying and bearing much fruit. I want to turn to Romans chapter 9. Reading the first three verses. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. What a statement. I can't think of a way to express. I can't think of a way that Paul could have expressed something more serious than this. He says in the beginning of chapter 10, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. No kidding. He meant business when he prayed about this. He isn't the only one that prayed a prayer like this. We turn back to Exodus chapter 32, we find another man who prayed almost an identical prayer. Exodus 32. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. The Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. But still, this was the heart of Moses. We see this in history too. And this story is actually what got me going on this whole subject and brought it all back to mind. Hearing about a man by the name of John Knox. John Knox was from Scotland. And I don't know a whole lot about his life. I don't know enough that I could give you a good biography about him. But he was a saved man. And the whole of the British Isles were under Catholic rule during his lifetime. And he spent a number of years in prison for his faith. Was eventually released. And decided to go back to Scotland. And it happened that almost the very day of his arrival, there was a number of other Christians on trial. And he, without even having been summoned, just showed up there with them. Volunteered himself on trial for his faith once again, even though he'd already spent years in prison. John Knox cared about his country. He cared about the salvation of Scotland. He cried and prayed day and night that God would save Scotland. And the Presbyterians, if you're familiar with the Presbyterians are, it's the Scotch Reformation through John Knox. And of all of the Reformed denominations, they're probably the most sound and biblical. John Knox was a man of prayer, and Queen Mary once said that she feared the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies of Scotland. But some friends of his once overheard him praying. He was praying, he was saying. They heard him repeat a number of times, "Give me Scotland, or I die. Give me Scotland, or I die." And God did give him Scotland. And as I said, they're the soundest of the Reformed denominations came from Scotland under the work of John Knox. This was a man that got serious. And I believe that if you look back in every preacher's life that was used as John Knox or many others, you will find a day, if not multiple days, where that man got serious. Where he got serious and realized there was no price that he was not willing to pay. Give me Scotland, or I die. Let's pray. Our Father, I pray you would take this attitude and this lifestyle and sink it deep into our hearts, that we would truly pray the prayers that these men prayed. That we would truly live the lifestyles that they lived, and we would care for nothing else. Amen. And let's dismiss.